Welcome to the Hawkeye Sidekick Podcast. And you're very welcome back to the Hawkeye Sidekick Hurling Podcast with your host, Mark Kennedy, joined again this week by Kieran Collins and Rory Walsh. Lads, how are things? Great. I suppose this episode, lads, we'll review Clare's victory over Kilkenny in the Allianz National Hurling League Division 1 final in Turles last weekend. We'll also look at the underage competitions as well. Lads can cast their eye on minor and under 20 action. I suppose, Rory, Six Mile Bridge man, great evening in Turles last Saturday night. Clare winning 3-16 to 120 against Kilkenny. I suppose, get your thoughts.
Yeah, I suppose there was a stage in the second half where Clare got their third goal, and you're thinking, are Clare finally going to win a game? You know, a big game where they can kind of, without stress, but no, in true Clare fashion, they had to come down to the last puck of the ball again, and goal mouth scrambles and penalties missed and the whole lot. So, yeah, they're not a good team to, you know. I actually said to the lad next to me at the game, I said, if Limerick were in this position, Clare were up 6-7 points, they'd go on and win by 10 or 11. So Clare need to find a way to start doing this. But no, I think they like the drama, I think. But look, in fairness to them, I know Kilkenny had wides and missed frees and that, but when the game's in the melting pot, as we always say, the third quarter is kind of the big moment. Clare dominated that third quarter and went right around the middle of Kilkenny, which probably might raise a few questions for Kilkenny again, because the two goals second half kind of came right down the centre of him. Kilkenny at the other end, I just thought, lacked a bit of firepower. I know Cody took the goal really well. Keown came on off the bench, 4 points. But just overall, you were looking at some of the guys who've, you know, failed to kind of ignite in the past, and the same happened again. Like Billy Ryan, just one score. John Donnelly said does great work, doesn't really add to the score, and just a point as well. Billy Drennan, for a lad who was coming off an injury, and kind of chomping at the bit, and this was his big chance, just didn't go for him. So you know, as we pointed out a few times in the show, Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody and TJ from Freeze as well, like, and if they're held, or even if one of them is held, Kilkenny struggled to win games, because this game was there for them. Just felt short slightly, it was just up in the forward end, really.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. What were your initial thoughts on that, Kieran?
Yeah, I suppose it's like for Kilkenny at the start of the game, TJ dropping out was a big loss from the start. And I suppose like TJ's 37, you know, this is the Kilkenny team of possibly next year, or God knows how long more he's going to stay at it, but you know, Billy Drennan, I think a lot of people thought he was the next, you know, TJ in waiting. But I all the signs of last year and this year, they don't seem to be pointing that way. I think Billy Drennan, like, there's no question he's a very, very good free taker. But in open play, he's just not contributing enough to scoring. And look, Kilkenny, I suppose, you know, Rory pointed out there, they were very wasteful. Like, you know, they had 9 points from 22 attempts in the first half. Like, they were the better team in the first half, but the scoreboard didn't reflect that at halftime. I think Clare were lucky to go in ahead probably at halftime. You know, just it was probably Kilkenny wastefulness in front of goal was their biggest letdown. But as Rory said there, like, they have been relying on TJ, Owen Cody and Mullen for scores. I think Keane Kenny had a very good game, and I think he's really established himself as probably one of them, you know, midfield starters at this stage. I think he's, you know, he's been kind of chopped around the last maybe year or so, kind of wing back, wing forward, but you know, I think they're in a really good performance midfield again. Look, Kenny, I suppose they did fight back in him. They scored the last three, the 4 points scored in the match. It just wasn't enough. You know, I think Cody with the penalty probably was a questionable penalty. You know, a really poor attempt. I think it might have been just a heavy pitch. It was probably a biggest factor of it, but just a real bad strike and, you know, a save for Quilligan. But, you know, I suppose had that goal gone in and had Kilkenny gone on to win that match, there would be uproar about Johnny Murphy and the black card. And probably rightly so, but I do think he had a very good game. You know, overall, he is probably criticised highly over the last few years, but I think he's probably the most improved referee as well. Look, he is very whistle happy at times, but I think, to be fair, like, he did let the game flow. You know, it was a good physical game, good high intensity game. He did let it flow as best he could. Look, that was probably a black mark against him at the end, but excuse the pun there. But you know, it just, I suppose, look, the level of refereeing isn't great at the minute. You know, I suppose we have to be happy with what we've got, but you know, big decisions like this, you'd hate to think it could be the winning and losing of a game for a team going forward, especially in championship. But look, no, definitely Clare, they deserve to win. suppose the biggest question for Clare out of the league is what will it take for Brian Lowen to smile and actually be happy about winning something for once. So maybe a Munster title might do that for him, but you know, he's just motionless there at the end of the game, didn't give much away, maybe very much keeping the powder dry for what might come for them. But you know, look, it was overall, I suppose it was a good performance. They were definitely a better team in the second half, and like that third quarter is the moving quarter, where you lay your mark down, and they definitely did.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there. In terms of Clare, I mean, had to deal with a bit of adversity in that opening half, Kilkenny dominance, but to be fair, they showed the resilience, but they also showed the clinical nature of those goals. And I mean, who stood out for you from a Clare jersey?
Yeah, took the goals very well. Aidan McCarthy in particular, with his finishing. I've accused him in the past of, you know, maybe lacking a bit of vision in terms of passes at times, giving the ball to the better man, but he's an excellent finisher. And he showed, and even, look, I know Kilkenny were particularly wasteful. Probably what was most annoying was the amount of wides they hit at, let's say, the wind side, at their own side, the side where the wind was blowing to, which never have a chance of going over. You know, if they hit them at the far side, you'd be thinking at least there's a chance for it to come back with the breeze. So they must have hit, like, you know, out of the 11 wides, maybe 7 or 8 of them were at that side, you know, which is kind of a bit unforgivable that you think you'd adjust. Like, I think Mullen had 2 or 3 himself, just particularly right from the same spot without any adjustment. Yeah, at the other end, like, on freeze, McCarthy was very good in freeze, and a bad... even with gusty wind, and I know David Reedy mentioned afterwards that down in the pitch level it was swirling with the stands and everything like that. It wasn't just straight down as you'd kind of expect looking at the national flag above, but did take the freeze really well. I thought David Fitzgerald was very quiet, like half time we were just waiting, like he'd hardly had a possession, but then he does a David Fitzgerald and just gets a goal from nothing, like so overall, like in terms of possessions, he was pretty quiet. So it's maybe something like in the first half Clare and long puckouts were being like wiped and long puckouts, and it's maybe something maybe Lowen might need to make an adjustment in terms of maybe Malone swapping into the half forward line with Fitzgerald on puckouts, so on Clare's own puckout. So if Malone wins or breaks the ball, Fitzgerald is running onto it, because he's not Fitzgerald for his size and physique, he's not a good man to win a puckout, like he's better to run onto breaks. So that's
what might that naturally happen, Rory, when Ryan Taylor comes back in. It might push Malone forward.
Yeah, because you see, maybe so, but like, I still thought Malone was very good in midfield, especially in the first half when Clare were in trouble. He was like kind of driving on. Darragh Lohan again is a bit quiet in terms of possessions too. I thought Kilkenny were kind of winning overall. Keane Kenny is getting on a lot of ball, coming out of ball with a lot of rucks. But yeah, Ryan Taylor does offer another option in the middle. But just like we had David Reedy centre forward, you know, who offers a different kind of a threat, I suppose, with link play and all that. But again, not a man you want to be putting a high puck out down on top of. And Fitzgerald one side, and then Duggan then was kind of being watched because it was going to be Clare's only outlet at the other side. So yeah, that's something I think that Lohan has to get right for Limerick, because there's going to be times where Limerick push up and you're going to have to win a long ball. Limerick will be enticing Clare to go along, and they definitely need more targets than they had in that first half against Kilkenny.
I agree. I thought Dave Fitzgerald was quiet, but I suppose, look, for if you want to pick a man of the match, I suppose you have to give it to McCarthy. You know, 2-10 is some scoring in them conditions. You know, I think he was under pressure as well coming into that game. He's had a poor league. You know, I suppose last year when we were getting him back from injury, you know, he was one of the players you were looking forward to seeing back. I think he struggled a little bit for form, you know, since he picked up that bad injury. And, you know, that'll give him huge confidence going into the Limerick game if he does start. I suppose he was definitely up there. Definitely Adam Hogan, Connor back, real great performance. You know, you forget these guys, what age they are. You know, he's only, what, one or two, maybe 2 years in the panel, and, you know, really made that corner back position his own. The likes of Rory Hayes and Flanagan, like, it's one jersey between the two of them, really, isn't it? Because that's his, and there's no getting away from it. But, you know, I suppose if you look at younger lads to come down the line for Clare, and, you know, what we've seen so far from them, like, there's a lot of talk of Gunning from East Clare, and, you know, potentially another corner back there, you know. So, like, there's no, I suppose last year you were talking, Rory, about shortage of backs in Clare, but it's starting to turn a little bit now, isn't it? You know, with, you know, you add in Conor Lean and Darragh Lohan, and I think we've seen Sean Rinn there last week, you know, not playing with Clare, but having a good game at the 20s as well, you know. So I think he's going to be a huge player for Clare going forward as well. So, you know, slowly but surely the panel is building, and there's a, you know, I suppose it's not just one panel, there's young lads coming behind as well. I suppose if you look at the results, you know, last weekend, the minors and the 20s winning, you know, backing up, I suppose, what they done last year. Like that 20s team, there's 7 of that minor team up from last year. So to be a relatively young team, I suppose, in the 20s grade. But, you know, from where Cork or from where Clare Hurling was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it's there's been a big change in a short time. You know, it's probably a lot of work on their underage.
Rory, get you in there. Like, it's, I feel like this is a big triumph for Clare. Just in terms of the squad, the rotation that Brian Lowen had to use. No Tony Kelly, no Ryan Taylor. Shane O'Donnell comes on for his cameo in the second half. I mean, they've done this really using a full squad here and an awful lot of players putting hand up here. And I think, Kieran, you've kind of rightly pointed out Adam Hogan, Conor Lean as well. I mean, nailed down for championship. I think all confidence leading into this Limerick game in Ennis in a week's time.
Yeah, and just to reiterate what Kieran said with Adam Hogan, like when Clare were under the cosh there, Adam Hogan was coming out ball after ball. Like for a young lad to take Joe the game and show a bit of leadership. Same with Dermot Ryan when push came to shove, he caught some great ball at the very death. Conor Cleary had a great game as well. Just small little flicks as well when it looked like the Kilkenny man was in front. I know he's at long reach, but just getting that little flick away and then another player comes in and tidies it up. So kind of stuff that you wouldn't like, not swashbuckling full back in style in the guise of his manager of old, but just a little kind of defending, as you'd say, just that little art of defending. I thought he did that very well too. Overall, yeah, the biggest thing I think from the league campaign is just the amount of guys who've got like big game experience now. And we mentioned that last week that, you know, this league final, especially with Kilkenny, the opponents, was going to be very close to championship. And even the players afterwards were saying like it was like they'd have been playing a challenge match last weekend, I'm sure, as all the other counties were anyway. And like this was better than any challenge game you could get. Because you'd have been facing a Leinster county more than likely. And to get Kilkenny, you know, kind of going out all guns blazing, you know, has to give experience to those lads who are in there. And I'm sure now Lohan is delighted that maybe some of these lads may not get a starting jersey in championship. Like Colm Galvin, Darragh Lohan there, maybe they don't hold on to it, but like Lohan will have no qualms about bringing him in. You know, they have been tested as such. And even from their own personal point of view, they won't be as nervous coming in as if it was their first time to go on the pitch, you know. So,
do we read into Tony Kelly not being named in the bench?
Yeah, because I had heard he was back in full training, and that was the word by all accounts. And afterwards, he was asked directly about it, and he kind of gave a roundabout answer, as he does, Brian Lohan. But it seemed to be that like it sounded more positive than negative. Anyway, I think what happened is because like the surgery on his ankle, and you know, ankle can be, as we know, like a tricky one, and they just want to be 100%, I suppose, before they put him out there, because even at his age himself, like he's just the other side of 30 now. So, you know, any setbacks, like especially at this stage, any setback, you miss 3 or 4 games, it comes so thick and fast. So it could be a case of just making sure he's 100%. But yeah,
like, there isn't too many players that can come in fresh. Like whenever we're coming to league, coming to championship pace, like it's, if he does start, like it's going to be a big ask without any hurdle this year, isn't it?
And it is his style of play as well. Like he's a runner. Like he loves to cut yards, and yeah, you know, he has that kind of flight. He looks like he's gliding across the pitch or whatever. But as you said, like match fitness is another thing. Like he could be hitting all the targets in training, but just getting the game under your belt. So maybe he'll be, strangely, it could be a Tony Kelly on the bench, which is a very unusual one. But he'd be.
I'm sure. If the game is in the melting pot, I'd say even the size of Tony Kelly warming up would gear up the crowd, like, so.
Yeah, especially a home crowd.
Yeah, if it comes to that, maybe, yeah.
So, yeah, look, it's positive. Like, it is very positive. Like, and as you said, like, there is kind of a real momentum now with the underage teams as well. And it just feed out to the seniors as well. Because I was at the 20s the night before, and I saw Brian Lohan coming out. I was watching it with a pep and his step coming out. Like, it does feed on with when the other teams are going well underneath. And even, like, as you said, like, Adam Hogan, watching him as a minor and under 20, you're kind of hoping that he can step up. And I suppose he had a baptism of fire last year in the first game against Tip, where kind of the clear full back line were just kind of exposed, and he got taken off. But like, what a response from, like, nailed his place back down. I thought it was very close to maybe getting the young hurler last year. I know Mark Rogers got it, but I thought, like, you know, he was probably a bit more consistent. And then, like, to get hurler of the year for colleges for his performances from AREI. And then to give the performance he gave, you know, in his second year, like, it's, look at it, very promising. And from a Clare point of view, just hope that he stays fit and doesn't get injured, because he's a real gem, like.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the squad depth you've also mentioned, like the Rory Hayes's, Paul Flanagan's there. Everyone's chomping at the bit for this jersey, particularly defensively from Clare. So all boats. Well, Kieran, can we just get on to Kilkenny here? It's the fifth successive national final loss for Kilkenny. I've mentioned before in this podcast, they don't do panic. But I think from a Derek Ling and management perspective, maybe there's some reflection here, particularly in the middle third, how they were overrun, particularly in that third quarter. And also, I think the forward line performance, particularly as a unit, cohesive unit, probably not just there on the night. I suppose things for Derek King and management to work on here.
Yeah, even not putting the microscope on that one game, but even like across the five games, like there has to be a psychological effect, you know, to getting into five. Like, and you can disregard the league final all you like. It's still a national title. You still take the field to go and win it. So, like, combined losing five, you know, in a couple of years, there has to be a negative effect to that, you know, when you're taking to the field. Probably like similar to what we saw with Clare the last 2 years when you're, you know, meeting Kilkenny in the semi final. It's that hoodoo over you. I'm sure it comes into the back of the heads of players as well. Yeah, for me, I suppose the concern is, you know, TJ, like he, 37 to still do what he's doing is unbelievable. But I think it's life after TJ. And, you know, okay, this Kilkenny team and Garrow Dunn under 20s looks very, very good. Maybe another player to add to it. But like that caliber of player that TJ is and the playmaker he is, and like that at the minute that isn't there, and you take that out, and if you have an own Cody on an off day or Mullen on an off day, you struggle to see where the scores come from. Okay, they might scrape by and win Leinster finals, but you struggle to see them win All Ireland's with teams like that. Look, I think they're probably over the last couple of years, like they're going for six Leinster titles in a row. Like we're talking them in a negative way. They're still winning in ways, but and possibly on paper shouldn't have won five or six of them, you know, or five or all five of them. But to just have that mentality there that gets them a lot of the way there. But I just worry for him going forward with the likes of TJ. You know, I thought he would have stepped away last year. You know, I was going to give him another year or so. But you just worry for the fallout after TJ steps away, and you know, like Cody another year older and Mullen another year older. And I think we've highlighted it's the consistency of the rest of the forwards is the issue, I think.
Yeah, I think, like, especially the corner forward position where Luke Hogan was, he has tried different players there during the league. Nobody has nailed down a spot. You're probably saying now Martin Keown came on and got four great points in the second half. You know, when Kenny were under a bit of pressure, you'd say, okay, he's going to start there now the next day, but good to know he mightn't puck a ball the next day. And it's like a bit of a merry-go-round there. There's about, okay, you have three forwards nailed down, and then John Donnelly probably four, and then there's a merry-go-round for about six or seven players who just keep taking the other two spots, and nobody's putting their hand up and claiming that jersey with a consistent, like, two games in a row performance. But the only thing is, like they're not far away, Kilkenny. Like, we're saying, okay, second half against Limerick in the All-Ireland, they capitulated in a way, but at one stage, like, they're 5 points clear in the second half in Ireland final, and, could easily have won the game Saturday night. And they're going to be like they're going to be in the knockout stages. They're going to be at least in a learning quarter final, and they just need to get it right then. For, you know, games went thick and fast then, you know. And as we know, when they get to Croke Park, like apart from Limerick, who seem to have their number up there, everybody else struggles to beat them. They're Galway, Clare, whoever they meet up there. So yeah, they're still going to be formidable when it comes to it. And like as we know ourselves from predictions over the last few years, you write them off at your peril.
I suppose, guys, closing thoughts in terms of the league. I suppose, Kieran, what have been your overriding thoughts of the league overall, particularly Division 1?
I think it's been more competitive this year than the leagues we've seen the last couple of years, with that extra fight, I suppose, because to play for Division 1 hurdle or 1A hurdle next year, it just shows a little thing, a dangling a little carrot, and, you know, the quality improves. I think teams like, you know, I'm just going to name Clare because, you know, we highlighted that last year it was kind of take or leave it approach, but you know, they have to go and play, and okay, you're getting to see young players and you're trying different things out, but you know, you're putting a real effort in, and I think we saw better games because of it. You know, looked at the ground and the weather and all has been a negative and has gone against, like, hurling should be played in summer months, but you know, we had some good games over that period, and you know, real hard slog at times for players. But I think just the competitive nature of the league this year added, and hopefully we'll see it come forward with the notion of relegations as well. So, you know, players will have to do enough to secure, like, Division 1A year on year. So that's the biggest thing for me, was that there was a small bit more of a competitive edge this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the whole, as Kieran said, the whole relegation thing made the games a lot more interesting. And we have far less blowouts, like games where there was 10 points between the teams. Most games are really close. I suppose the big winners in terms of, I would say, management's kind of been happy with Lee coming out. But Wexford, I think, Keith Rosser came in fresh, new. Learned a lot about his panel through injuries and everything, and they were extremely competitive also Limerick in a way got through a bunch of players, and also like in some ways sometimes when things are exposed, like Kilkenny exposed maybe some frailties with the high ball and the full back line, they have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to work on, and especially when you when things are laid out that clearly for you. At the other end then, I think teams maybe that like disappointed during the league, Waterford, I know Davey was trying to play it down, saying that they were competitive in most of their games, but at the same time, like there was definitely two or three games at the end of the league where Waterford were really flat out trying. And you know, it's as we said, like their own public support. I see during the week they're talking about a lack of ticket sales for Waterford and Cork and how they're going to be outnumbered at home by Cork fans. And it's just a pity in a way for the players' point of view that the Waterford public aren't. I know you could say that they may not be fans of management or side of play, but that they're not kind of backing the players. But I suppose if you had gone to a few of their league games and farted out money to go, you'd find it hard to go and support them again. So it has a double edge there, but Waterford definitely, I think they needed a win or two to kind of, especially after like Munster Championship last year, being dumped out, first team maybe out of the whole thing. That didn't happen. Tipperary as well, I think, were kind of left in a situation after the Clare game where they haven't a clue what their team is. You know, I think Liam Cahill probably has more questions now at the end of the league than he had at the start. Tipperary have enough hurlers that they can stumble across, you know, a 15, starting 15 that could qualify top three. That's the way things are. Same at Cork. So, yeah, the Munster is, you know, going to be a right minefield again, as always. And I suppose from a Clare Limerick kind of point of view, everybody's kind of writing them down as two of the teams plus one more. That's a dangerous position to be in, because whoever loses that first game is, you know, going to be in trouble straight away, especially if Waterford come back to the level they were at a couple of years ago and maybe beat Cork the first game, then it's all wide open. Yeah, it makes for an intriguing championship, but going back to the league again, yeah, there was definitely kind of winners, losers. Galway, another team that I think really targeted the league this year, but yet ended up short. So Shefflin as well, probably more questions and answers after the league. So yeah, for some teams, I think really benefited from it. Other counties, at all the games, they got competitive matches and everything. Like in terms of maybe new talent standing out, didn't really happen at Galway especially. And then also for just getting a settled team, that hasn't happened for other teams either. So like Waterford, Tipperary, even Cork, their forward line, like I would say try and predict the six Cork forwards that are going to start against Waterford. It's hard thing to do.
I know with Cork, Robbie O'Flynn was back during the week, played the challenge game. So he's another one to the mix there, but I just think Galway, they're the same old Galway as last year and the year before. You know, they failed to impress this year in the league for me. I think it's hard to see what improvements have been there. Look, I know teams will keep the powder dry to a certain extent, but I think Galway and Tipperary are probably, Tipperary are better than I thought they would be. I think they have found a few players that surprised me a little bit. Now they have to bring it into the championship, but I think Galway just, to me, they failed to flatter in any way. I think they've just been same old Galway in years gone by, but that's what time will tell how good they are.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, vibe up here in Galway has been, it was a disappointing league campaign, particularly that Limerick performance when Shane O'Brien getting sent off for Limerick. That was the opportunity, Knox moment, to really kind of put in a statement of intent. Never really happened, did it, in that second half. So, look, I'm kind of thinking in terms of Antrim here as well, pretty disillusionment in terms of how the league's gone. Now, granted, they've drafted in several key players back into the panel, so we'll see how that goes. Dublin as well, kind of in a crossroads section, steadily improved as the league probably wore on. But I think there's more questions and answers for quite a few teams. And I think the 1A, 1B element here as well, I think that 1A definitely was beneficial to the likes of Wexford, the quality of games that they were getting week in, week out. I think we can see with roster side, you know, they've really improved this season. Good league overall, I thought, and Clare very worthy winners. Guys, we might switch on to under-20s and minors. Rory, I suppose you've alluded to it. Great week for Clare last week in terms of the minors and under-20s. I suppose what really stood out for you in those Clare victories?
I suppose, yeah, from a minors point of view, with a big turnover of players for, let's say, 2 years ago, they the likes of Gooding and Keane and Matthew Holland and these lads, last year was their second-year minor. And had a lot of experience from the year before, and you know, it stood to them when they won it. So this year, I think it was three guys left, so it was 12 new players in. So you didn't know what you're going to get from Clare, and yet they had a convincing win over Waterford. And I suppose I wonder, is this alarm bells ringing again? This happened last year with Waterford, where they didn't win a game in the round robins of minor under 20, and the only game they won was the senior match against Tipperary when they're already out. So the round robin was a disaster for them last year, and there's real alarm bells again because it seems so far that they've yet to win a game under 20 or senior. So they've two minor games last 10 and under 20. So it's worrying from their point of view. Clare Limerick, this Clare team, as you mentioned last week, lost by 40 points to Cork in minor. And I know you could say one-off game and the whole lot, but like there's big improvement, and I know they've gone for younger players. I think as Gary pointed out, seven of the team are from last year's All-Ireland minor team. Now, when you get to this level, like to under 20, playing a year younger doesn't make as much of a difference as it does on minor, because you know they're close to being men at this stage, and they've all been through the S&C programs now, through academies and the whole lot. So by the time you're hitting 19, 20, like you're well able to play a year or two above your age if you're good enough. Yeah, so Clare would be very happy with that game, because going into it, like Limerick would have been fancied going in, and I know they'd home advantage, Clare and everything, but I think sometimes when you have a star like Shane O'Brien in your team and he kind of hobbled off midfield through the second half, you're relying on other guys to step up. And at the end, the last 10 minutes, like Limerick didn't have a forward who stepped up to win ball, and Clare kind of just, it was only in that spell, like Limerick were 2 points up with 10 minutes to go, playing with a breeze, that Clare kind of took over and kind of won that game in that spell. Yeah, just saying Limerick need to bounce back now tomorrow night. They have a home game in Rakhil, so against the Prairie tomorrow night, so they'll have to win. If they lose tomorrow, they're basically gone. So it's going to be interesting. And TG Cahir are live streaming the Clare Cork game and Limerick and Tip tomorrow night, so fair play to them again.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there, even on the Limerick under-20s front. It's very inconsistent performance, a very Jekyll and Hyde performance. There were some good bits, particularly that 2 goals, 3 points just before half time. Just, you know, there was a bit of dominance there, particularly early in the third quarter. But I suppose last 10 minutes, really, Clare really showed the way in terms of their distribution and their accuracy. And maybe their fitness kind of kicked in here a little bit, I felt, in the last 5-10 minutes to win this game, deservedly so.
I think if you look at the game overall, Clare were definitely the better team. I think that spell you named out there before half time, you know, 2-3 and Limerick went in, was a 2-8 and 1-9 ahead at half time. You know, you're thinking, you know, there's a bit of a fight on here, but I think to be clear, it was the composure at the end for me, the way Clare saw it. I think Rory said there, like there was no one there in the Limerick side to go and win the ball and try and go and win the game. And, you know, I think it was just Clare's composure. And as I said earlier, like it's a young team, like seven starters from that minor team last year, you know, so they'll be underage for another year or so. And I think that's a testament of how good they were. And you know, they have a huge game tomorrow night against Cork. I suppose, look, we've been highlighting what Cork teams have been doing underage for the last couple of years, so that'll be a good battle. And I suppose for Limerick as well, as far as Limerick had to bounce back, and you know, Tipperary aren't any slogs either. I suppose like they still will be hard to beat. So I think there's two massive games there tomorrow night. Just on Waterford, Mark, I think, you know, it's their sixth consecutive defeat this under 20. But I don't even think it's looking at the scoreline, you might think, yeah, 8 points is not too bad. But I think Cork just did what they had to do. Like, there was more in Cork, I think. The real worry for me, like, Waterford got a late goal. Up to that, they had 2 points scored from play. You know, in whatever, 60-55 students are hurling. That's poor. That's very, very poor. Look, you can play in conditions all you like, but that's both teams had to play into them. And, you know, to score 2 points from play in any game, it has to be serious alarm bells ringing there.
I watched that game, Kieran, instead of Six Mile Bridge. But to be perfectly fair, Cork were in complete cruise control throughout. I thought work rate-wise, Cork backline basically coming out at will with the ball. And I mean, you have O'Connor, O'Sullivan, O'Regan in that half-forward line, scored 5 points from play combined. You had Jack Leahy with 7 points. There were 14 points to three up at half-time. There was a little bit of a mini-revival from Waterford in the third quarter. But then when you felt, if Cork needs to pick it up anyway at all, there was plenty in the tank there. And I think, to be fair, Cork management really called in the subs fairly early just to blood them in. And it is very worrying for Waterford. I mean, the 1-2 stat is just glaringly obvious here, isn't it? So, but look, Cork were very impressive as well. But again, I think that Cork-Clare game, Rory, tomorrow night will be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, again, look, it'll be some turnaround if Clare can overturn Cork. I know it's 3 years' time, but just the fact, the difference between those two teams back then, that Cork team had done and steamrolled in All-Ireland. Now, I know it's hard to maintain that, and the pack will gradually come back at you. But home advantage, you'd have to fancy Cork tomorrow night down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. This team, I suppose, as a bunch themselves, haven't been beaten all through. They won all the tournaments up along at their own age group. And as I said, walked the minor. And until they're beaten, you just have to keep like tipping them to win games. Yeah, the other game then, Limerick Tip, is anyone's really, I think, because I think Limerick are a better team than what they showed in Clare. And like they have to like respond now. Tipperary, as we know, have a lot of next year's team, are the team that won the All-Ireland Minor to beat Offaly late in that final. And so Tip have good expectations for this bunch as well. So that's going to be a cracking game as well tomorrow night. And just like come back to Waterford as well, like I suppose the blueprint is there. Clare turn things around. If you get things right, it doesn't take long underage. It's not like a 10-year thing or a 10-year plan, because they're already going through, S&C Property Academy is just getting things right and structures right. And you can see the fruits in it in 2 or 3 years. And but Waterford need to get their act together. It's worrying now. And things can fall apart fairly quickly. Like if they don't win a senior round robin game again this year and fail to win one, underage, like there'll be questions. Sorry, I mentioned they won one last year, but if they're knocked out again this year and don't qualify, there'll be questions again. And
Would that be 5 years then on their own robin that they wouldn't have qualified?
Yeah, correct. They've never qualified.
Never have.
And their system with having two county boards, like a West Board, City, like it's not working. So they need to just rethink completely structurally what's going on down there.
Governance, hurling structures, scouting networks, Saturdays, even under 8s, under 10s, identifying them. That all has to be reviewed here. But it's going to
I think Tron, like a legendary management team with, Kevin Moore and these guys, like, but I suppose it's I think that the problems are deeper rooted than that. I think it's not coaching probably is okay. It's just obviously probably structures below that are the main concern. I suppose the main issue there, because it's not just an issue of one team. It's feeding through the whole, from minor 20s up to senior. So I think it's a system issue more than just the personnel, I would say.
And Ballygunner as well have become, this behemoth of a club below. And it turned out last year under 14 club championship where Ballygunner's A team won it. Their B team were in the county semi-final of the A division. Their C team won their division as well. So when it came to the Tony Forrestal team, there was Ballygunner players who, it's such an achievement to wake their first team because of so many players under 14 level that they weren't too concerned about going in with Waterford. So a load of lads just turned down the opportunity to play Waterford because they got their sense of achievement and fulfilment from winning a championship with the Ballygunner club team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become an issue for them. Ballygunner are so strong. For an overall Waterford view, it's definitely, I think, have a negative impact on the county team. Now, you could say it's up to the other clubs to close that gap. Ballygunner, and it's not Ballygunner's fault by any means, and it isn't. But it's still the case where, it is definitely impacting on Waterford underage, I think.
It's not healthy for any senior team to win 10 in a row.
No.
No, this year, it's not healthy.
No, absolutely not. And look, let's hope that Waterford do resurge fairly soon, I suppose, guys. So maybe get a tip from you, Kieran, in terms of that Cork-Clare game tomorrow night. Who are you tipping here?
Yeah, these two games, I think they're hard to call. For me, I'd probably just give it to Cork. Look, we've known what they've been doing for the last couple of years. And Limerick Tip, just based on, I suppose, expecting a kickback and home advantage, I'll give it to Limerick.
Yeah, I'd kind of go along with the Cork bet, but I think Clare will give as good as they get, particularly with that Cork side. I think there was good promising moments there in that Clare game. They're going to have periods of pressure here. This is a very good Cork side. But I feel Clare well equipped to kind of deal with that. It should be a cracker. I think all the pressure's on Limerick tomorrow night in Rakeel. I mean, if there's no result here, I mean, Tipperary coming in fresh, you'd hope from Limerick that they're a little bit more battle-hardened from Six Mile Bridge. But there are question marks in this Limerick side throughout the spine of this side. Just the hunger, determination, the work rate, I didn't really see last weekend in any consistent manner. Has to be a far, vastly improved performance. I'm probably tipping Tip here, to be perfectly honest. I think the potential here in that Tip under 20 team is massive. And I think for Loftus and management here, it could be a long evening here in Rakeel. I suppose, guys, Leinster on last Saturday, Storm Cathleen rolled into town. And I suppose O'Moore Park and Port Leash was the case in point, really. At one point here, Rory, Leash were 9 points up after 18 minutes with a strong gale force breeze. But by God, Kilkenny put up 6-14 anyway. 5 goals with either side of halftime really turned the tide here. And I mean, it was very pressing performance again from Kilkenny.
Yeah, just following the scores on Twitter, we've Leash up 1-5 to no score. So 1-5 before Kilkenny even registered a score. But as we know, like one thing Kilkenny teams can always do is hit you for a couple of goals and pure sucker punches. Like even at the end of the game, if you're looking score for score, Laois almost got as many scores as Kilkenny, but unfortunately, every second score Kilkenny got was a goal. But again, look, there are signs for Laois. You know, there are green shoots there. Even, you know, from a Laois point of view, to take a lead like that, but it's just, you know, for their next round of games, just tightening things up. Tightening up and not conceding that level of goals. I know you say, oh, well, it was Kilkenny, but it doesn't matter what team you're playing. Like, you have to protect the goal, and it keeps you in the game.
Absolutely. Kieran, I suppose, goals win games here. I mean, Laois had good parts, particularly in that first quarter. They picked over some great points, but I mean, look, they were wide open, particularly just before halftime here. Here it was 1-9 to 2-3 at half time, but I mean, Kilkenny at will, middle third, basically run game, basically crucified Laois, and I suppose Laois have a bit of work to do ahead of this prelim quarter final against Wexford.
I suppose kudos to Grow Dunn with scoring 4-2. You know, it's some scoring in the game. Like Kilkenny has scored 10 goals now in 2 games. You know, so it's obviously their part of their mantra to go for goals, and definitely the 20 team are playing that way. I think for Kilkenny to be back in it at half time is probably, you know, is a testament to how well they're against that wind. Like, they did well to get back after being down by, you know, 8-9 points after whatever it was. Get back nearly to level terms or close to it was no mean feat. Kilkenny are true now to semi finals, and, you know, they've had two good games and two big wins. And, you know, I don't think anyone would want to face them the way they've been playing. I suppose the other great game for me, Offaly Galway. Offaly probably a little bit poor this year. Poorer than what I expected, like, you know, scraping them in against Dublin last week. And, you know, they were 5 points up with a couple of minutes left, and let Galway in for 5 minutes scores to level it up. Greeny with 8 points, you know, Barry Egan with 3. But I thought they would be a bit stronger. Look, it's early days. This one, they're still on to play for them. But just like, obviously, with last week's game, last puck of the game, score from Egan to win it. And just with 5 up at 6 minutes to play, you'd expect them to see it out. Fair play to Galway for coming back, but just a little bit, you know, a little bit disappointed in Offaly this year, this age group.
Yeah, Rory gets you in there, particularly with Offaly. I mean, they were 5 points up, penalty awarded, Galway down to 14 players, Ravenhill misses the penalty, and it seemed to energise Galway immediately. You had Nylan and Burke hitting over points, and I mean, Offaly were kind of hanging on here a little bit, particularly towards the latter end here. Nylan and Burke missed frees right at the end. There was a bit of a lapse here from Offaly against Dublin, particularly second half-wise. We've seen another kind of mini collapse here second half. There's probably question marks here for the O'Connor and Offaly management to probably resolve here before next round of games.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this isn't the first game, happened against Dublin as well, where the game was, you know, looked like they had it won, and suddenly they're in a battle to, you know, come in that case to scrape through by a point. And at this one, Galway came back and got a draw with them. I suppose at the same time, you could say they've been in positions where often where a team is coming at you and yet they've held on and haven't been beaten, which is a bit of a plus for them. Overall, I thought this game was poor. Like, the touch was poor. Centre sport teams just giving away possession. After the puck, I was conceding the puck out to the wing back. I don't know, it's madness for me. Whatever, a cornerback, putting them under pressure. Conceding the puck out to a wing back who's then hitting the opposition full forward line. You know, this happened a good few times in the game from both sides, and I just don't see the logic in it. But, both teams can play much better than they did. And I think, in a way, both of them will feel like they probably, you know, performed way below their level and yet still got a point out of it. So there's probably some bit of satisfaction in it, because generally if you perform like that, you expect to be beaten. And Offaly, I suppose, I think we were probably expecting, you know, a bit much from them considering they were in the All-Ireland final last year, I suppose, and a lot of the players were underage, but it doesn't really go like that, you know. As you know, underage, just because you have so many guys still there the next year, doesn't automatically entitle you to win, because you just don't know how much a guy who's age 19 in Galway is going to improve between 19 and 20 in Kilkenny and so on. So you just take each year on its own. And at the same time, I suppose, to have a win and a draw under their belt. So I suppose it's probably objective achieved in one way, but it comes down now to Galway and Dublin in the last game. But I presume Offaly are going to be through with 3 points unless something crazy happens with score difference. Dublin beat Galway and then they're all in. Actually, Galway would be out then. So I'd say Offaly are true, I think.
Yeah,
That puck out, you were mentioning there, Roy, about the conceding to the wing back and the sharp puck out. The Offaly seniors actually did the very same against Waterford, the first game of the league in the first half. Mm. And like Waterford got a huge one of scores off it. So, and I couldn't understand why they didn't close up on it, you know, because you're taking a few paces and the ball's at 65. So, yeah, you'd wonder, is it something that's been looked at in Offaly, or just to see it from two teams, like, it's to me, it's ludicrous.
Next, this weekend coming anyway, Dublin entertain Galway, I suppose, season saver for both of these teams, and Wexford versus Laois, I suppose. Kieran, get your thoughts first on those two games. Who are you tipping?
Yeah, I think Dublin surprised me a little bit last week. You know, probably unlucky not to get a draw at least. I suppose, look, this Galway team, we've Aaron Ireland is probably on the lips of a lot of people, and for such a young guy, I think it'll just be, I don't think there'll be much in it, but I think Galway will probably win. I think they're probably going to be, you know, the better team. Look, I don't know too much about the Dublin team. I know, like, Tiarra Dooling, obviously, has been playing on it, and aside from him, like, I suppose it's, I think last week the Cockney was surprised with the results, or how close they were to Offaly. And in the other game, I give that to Galway. In the other game, Wexford Laois, the pressure's on Wexford this weekend. You know, obviously, we highlight Laois haven't been too bad. I think after, like, the performance Wexford gave 2 weeks ago against Kilkenny, like, there has to be a kickback. You know, I thought they were, you know, very badly set up, and just it wasn't a good performance, and, you know, a home game, and I'd expect Wexford to win it, but again, I can't see much in it, but I would expect them to have enough to beat Laois.
Yeah, Rory, who are you tipping here?
Yeah, I go along with Kieran's predictions there. I go Wexford to just have enough maybe to beat Laois. Interesting, like, it's hard to tell where either team are after the both games against Kilkenny. Wexford, you'd imagine, might have a bit, you know, with home advantages, you know, might have a bit too much for them. Galway, like, I think are going to be, you know, relieved that they got a point out of the Offaly game. And I think that might, you know, pressure is kind of on Dublin now as well here. Like, it's grand coming back against Offaly, but they didn't get the job done when it was there for them. And I just feel, yeah, Kieran, I just think Galway might have, you know, a bit too much for them. So, yeah, Galway and Wexford to progress there.
I suppose, guys, can we get some kind of initial thoughts before we end here? Minor games tonight in Munster. Cork triumphing 119 to 113 over Limerick in Super Valley Park in Kyiv. And Tipperary had a storming start against Waterford. They were 3-9 to 6 points up at the break, and they won by 5. I suppose, Kieran, initial thoughts on that. Cork very impressive tonight.
Yeah, Cork, I didn't say any of the games, just following results. But yeah, Cork impressive. You know, 6-point win. You know, look, repeat myself again, but I suppose with Cork underage, they have been producing a lot of young hurlers. And I think it's the change where the infrastructure is that they've changed at a younger age, and they're seeing a lot more players. And you know, you've seen a lot more of players through all the clubs, and it's obviously reaping benefits. And, you know, another tough, I suppose it's been a bad start to underage campaigns for Limerick, considering the loss last week to Clare as well, and last in the first game. And any competition is going to put the pressure on for the next game, and, you know, the pressure will be on obviously the Limerick 20s, but the Limerick minor team next day out as well. I think for Tipperary, you know, I suppose Tipperary, they were really impressive last week, the minors. I suppose Waterford, I suppose a bit more fight in them compared to what other teams we've seen from Waterford in recent times. But I suppose, look, Tipperary doing enough, and I suppose early on, to me, Tipperary look impressive, and probably look a team of the four who are early doors have impressed.
Rory, in terms of Cork, very impressive tonight, along with Tipperary tonight. I suppose your thoughts?
Yeah, I suppose Cork had to bounce back. I thought they were second best against Tipperary, and the scoreline kind of flattered them a bit last week. Tipperary, as Kieran said, have been very impressive early doors in this. Fair play to Waterford in a way here, because they were well beaten last week up in Ennis, something like 23 points to 12, which, you know, in terms of scores. But, like, they were in a position tonight where it looked like they could get well beaten and actually fought back and had it back to a goal at one stage. So it shows there's a bit of character and heart there in the Waterford lads. And, look, maybe it's a sign for them, you know, to turn things around and maybe get a win on the board in that round robin, because to go through it again, as we mentioned, without any wins would be disappointing for them. But yeah, good bounce back from Cork. I think as well the fact in minor hurling not having a game, having the bye in round one, is definitely a negative. And for Limerick, like, coming out fresh, you know, against a Cork team who had a game under belt, maybe realised one or two guys that flatter to deceive and challenge games and didn't quite have it for championship, and you can iron that out in round one and get stronger. So, and home advantage and everything as well is really important at especially at minor level. So, like, I think every game so far, apart from maybe the Waterford one tonight, has gone to home team. Yeah, so it is a thing. So definitely a factor in these games. So yeah, both those teams, it looks like Cork and Tip definitely you know, are in pole positions now. I know Clare didn't play, had the bye this week, but Clare are going to have to beat Cork or Tip to try and make the Munster final now. And and Limerick, of course, still in it. Like, it's just one defeat in it. And often, as we mentioned before, these games can be unpredictable at minor level. Especially like maybe lads are back in school and the whole lot. Like, you just don't know what shape they're in going to these games. So, yeah, it's still all to play for, really. It's early doors yet in the round robin.
Yeah, pretty volatile minor championship from one week to the other. But I suppose Limerick, a few players got a baptism of fire tonight, particularly in terms of turnover rate, particularly in that middle third, was pretty high, I would say. Shane Dolan will be really reviewing that in video analysis. And I thought Jack Cosgrove's penalty right at the end when the game was in the melting pot, I thought Cork showed genuine class there to pull away again from a 2-point margin all the way to 6. I think it really does show the potential of this Cork side. So, look, I think it's shaping up to be a very good Munster Minor Hurling Championship. I suppose, guys, we'll leave it there. Many thanks for your time tonight. I suppose next week will be our big review of the Munster Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. And also, Joe McDonough, I suppose, might have a few special guests on as well. I suppose until next weekend, enjoy the games, guys, this weekend. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Cheers, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard in this podcast, why not subscribe to the Hawkeye Sidekick podcast on either Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, or Twitter platforms. You can also follow me at Hawkeye Sidekick on Facebook and Twitter for the latest sporting opinions, articles, and reports.